gonna sell my soul.
Yeah, I think we're running here. Uncomfortable. The intention was to make you uncomfortable. Did it make you uncomfortable? It did, didn't it? Right? It bothered me to prepare this. And so, for me, coming here in preparation for today, my message can be summed up real simple. God says, I didn't design you to be comfortable, okay? Because He's come with a different intent. We need to embrace change. We need to embrace what's coming. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to peel the scriptures back, okay? So it was uncomfortable for me to prepare this. Because as I look out and I survey and I see what's happening outside the four walls of this place, it gets pretty scary, right? I don't know how you walk through this without God in your life, right? How could you possibly attempt to walk through life without the Lord today? But most people do. We're going to get into some of the numbers here. This has been laid on my heart so heavy that my wife and I have been praying and working through what God has for His church, right? There's an uncomfortable wake-up call unfolding inside His church. On Father's Day, men of God, we ask you to rise up, right? We ask you to rise up and to be ready. The rescue's in Jesus in our uncomfort. That's where the rescue comes. So, most of you know my story, my testimony. I'm not going to get into that today because I've already shared that with you. But it centers around, I am coming, be ready. And so, if you would, grab your Bibles, your sword, and go to Matthew 10. So while you're going to Matthew 10:34, I want to share with you the driver for this uncomfortable theme. Okay? Matthew 10:34 says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Earlier in this scripture reference, he states that if you acknowledge me before others out in the world, I will acknowledge you before the Father. Right? So he didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring a sword. So what does that mean? I mean, when you peel that back and you look in the Greek, it says, In the Greek word here that's being used is irene. It translates into peace, but it has other elements or connotation to it, okay? Context. Here we talk about harmony. He didn't come to bring a harmony. He didn't come to bring a tranquility. He didn't come to bring a safety. He didn't come to bring a welfare or a health. He came to bring a sword. He came to bring a sword. The good news. At a time in the world when there was chaos and torment, right? The Roman Empire was storming the whole entire region. And so, with that, we also have reference in Mark 13, if you would go there with me, please. Mark 13. We'll pull this together. The Lord says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping, comfortable, cushy. What I say to you, I say to everyone, and this goes for everyone, watch. Watch. Be ready. Revelation 3 also articulates he's coming soon. As a matter of fact, Revelation 22 has a couple more references there, right? He says, I am coming. We need to be ready. We need to be on watch, right? So the call is to the church. The Lord came in his instrument of bringing this sword, bringing this gospel into the world is through us, the church. He didn't choose any other mechanism. It's not like he chose a machine. It's not like he chose a whole bunch of different technology. He chose people. He chose people like you and me. And so, as we unpack this, the real message here is to be ready. Get yourself ready. Me, I look at myself and get myself ready. Every time I go to speak, I'm uncomfortable. When I have to stand before the Lord and speak the gospel message to people at large, I'm uncomfortable. You know why? Because all the preparation time and coming to this point, he really lays me open. He sifts me. He sifts my heart, my mind, my soul, and my body. He sorts me out. He brings a message to me that is for now. And the message is first, love me. Keep your eyes on me. The second is to love others, right? And we see this in Luke. We see this in Mark. Okay? And then last but not least is he tells me to go. To go. And tell people about him. Matthew 28. So with that command, we have to look at the state of the church and kind of where we find ourselves today, right? The state of the church at large, if you were to do the analysis, and we've got a ton of analytics back at Crossbridge Ministries where we can peel this all back. You got Tom Rainer, and you got Aubrey Melfers, and you got Bill Hybels, and there's a whole bunch of preachers and teachers and consultants and analytics behind all of this. But when you boil it down, my heart hurts. I'm uncomfortable. This situation we find ourselves in as a church at large. Churches have plateaued or are declining. The percentage of church attenders is declining as well. How can that be? How can that be, we ask? Young people are leaving the church. There's a whole generation that has just kind of separated itself, and the generation is saying, hey, if that's what church is like, I don't want any part of this. It rips my heart out. Growth in cults and unchurched. These are statistically proven, folks. This is what's happening all around us. And church planting needs are shifting and changing, right? And the ability to plant churches at large has never been greater. The need has never been greater than it ever has before. So what does this mean as a church for us? That starts with me. It starts with me as a follower of Jesus Christ. What does that mean for us? You look at the unchurched and you start to unpack what's going on with the unchurched and what's happening, and you dissect that by generation. You can see that the numbers are on the rise as we move from the next generation to the next generation. We're missing it. Right? I mean, that's what the numbers are telling us. We're missing it, right? And so I put this before the Lord, and my wonderful, beautiful wife, Jerry, who loves and supports me so much and is my partner in ministry, we pray about this. Lord, what do you want us to do? And so we have to ask ourselves, what are people saying about us, about the church in our surrounding area? What do they really think of us, right? If things are plateaued and things are declining, something's going on. I can't just stay here. I have to understand. Lord, give me eyes to see, a heart to love, right? And a willingness to go out and lead in this time of uncomfortableness. And so we hit the streets, and we've got a video to share because we collected video of what people actually think of the church.
Churches aren't involved, or they're not really out there, because they're really quiet, and you don't know what did take a religious class, so I will learn a lot in there, but besides from that, I'm not really interested.
Wow. You look at those stats. That was sitting on a park bench for somewhere start to finish about an hour and a half. And we talked to everybody that walked by. Everybody. And we got three of them to actually allow us to videotape them. Everyone else said, I don't want anything to do with that. We collected the data, collected the information, and those are the numbers that you see. Okay? So one of our tests was, oh, come on. We see so many statistics and so many stats here in America constantly, right? Whether it's the election or everything else unfolding in our economy and our financials and everything else. We see all these numbers and all this stuff. Is that for real? Is that real? The information we collected on the street lines right up with Barna, right? Barna Research lines right up with Lifeway and Tom Rainer and company. So we're no different, is the general message. So what are we going to do about it? We have to change. We have to change together collectively. If I first have to look at myself, I have to ask myself, do I have a heart for people far from God? Or do I find myself in isolation, insulation? Do I function in fear? Or do I operate in boldness and in uncomfort for Jesus? Uncomfort for Jesus. And so, Doug Pollock, longtime pastor and missional community leader, recently released a book called Godspace, and it wrecked me. It completely changed how I look at people who don't know Jesus. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, when we get a group of born-again believers together, we're high-fiving when we're talking about our Jesus speak, and we got all our Christianity running, and it feels good. It feels great. It's supposed to. That's what Sunday's about, the gathering of the believers, to build each other up, to edify the church, to pray for one another, to seek to understand where we're coming from, what the needs are, to function and operate in the Spirit together. And to share our stories of how Jesus Christ is changing not only us, but the people around us. And to invite people far from God in to this loving, saving relationship with Jesus. Right? That's what we're called to do. And so Godspace, when you look at Godspace, Doug hit it right on the mark. And he asked a series of questions. I have a few of them here, and I'd like to just ask you them very quickly. And we answer them on a scale of 1 to 10. You can keep score in your own mind to where you're at. I know everybody likes to keep score. We got a sports mentality society these days, so everybody's into stats. I'm sure we can do that. So if you'll allow me, I will ask you these questions. And I'm going to ask them to me first. So Dale, can you overlook unchristian behavior and lifestyles? Are you able to suspend judgment around unchristians? Do you consistently seek to understand unchristians before seeking to be understood by them? In other words, do we listen with two before we talk with one? Dale, are you patient enough to wait for the unchristian to ask for your opinion and where you stand on things? Be honest. Do you really like people far from God? Do you? Dale, do people far from God like you? Do they invite you over? Does your body language communicate an open-hearted acceptance for unchristian people in your life? Well, the assumption there is that you have unchristian people in your life. You have people far from God in your life. You are ministering to them in your neighborhoods, your schools, your places of work. Whether you fill up at the gas station at Speedy here on a corner or at 32 Mile Road, right? Connecting with people as you go. So the score there, as you tally that, you can begin to have a perspective. Am I sticky? Am I connected with people far from God? Am I being Jesus to other people who have no relationship with Him? Right? That's the first question. And for me, I got a lot of work to do in that area. With as much ministry and as much teaching and everything else down inside of that, I can do more, not less, right? As fathers, we're called to lead this charge. We lead this by example in our households. We lead this by example in our places of work. We lead this by example in the church and how we lead. So the call to action is to first pray. I would tell you, pray. Just like I laid this whole subject matter of this tension of uncomfortableness out before the Lord, to pray. Place it before Him. Ask Him, Lord, what is it that You want me to see? So the first prayer is, Lord, give me Your eyes, right? Give me Your eyes. And there's a song. He says, Lord, give me Your eyes. Right? You got that song. Give me Your eyes so I can see how You look at people, how You see things. Remove the scales from me. To love, secondly. The next action is to love. Lord, help me to sort through how You love without judgment. Without any conditions attached. Without any expectations of anything in return. We see this out of Jesus everywhere. Right? The adulterous woman that He talked to at the well. And He wasn't even supposed to be talking to Samaritans, let alone a woman at a well. But He did it anyway. Help me love, Lord, like You love. And then lead, last but not least, to lead. Lord, in this uncomfortable time, and where we find the church, and Lord, where You find me, help me to lead well. Help me to lead well. When Jesus told us to watch, it wasn't just for the men. And it wasn't just to watch on the third watch or the fourth watch, which is the most vulnerable watch for any of you military guys, right? It's to watch, to be to be watchful, to be mindful of that, to be ready across the board. So, on this day, we ask the Lord to help us look, love, and lead in a way that connects people far from Christ. And when that happens, we got to add on to the church. We've got to change everything. The financials, they automatically take care of themselves, right? We got to add on to the parking lot because we'd have no place, no space to fill them. They're coming. They're coming. Why? Because they've had an encounter with Jesus. The Jesus in you, the Spirit in you. It changes everything. So let's bow our heads and pray as I close here. Lord God, I never thought that I would thank you for this. But I thank you for how you make me uncomfortable. Lord, I thank you for how you've laid on our heart the faces and the names of those that yet need to come into a saving relationship with you. And Lord, that you've placed them on our heart for the sole purpose for us to go. Lord, that we would find them, that we would love on them as you've loved on them, and Lord, that we would lead them to you. Lead them in a special way. For some of us, Lord, it starts with our own individual family members. For others, Lord, it's people that we see and that we have a hard time discerning because we don't know them yet. But Lord, we know they're coming and we know your will and your perfect plan. Your scriptures say that, for it was recited earlier in our service. Lord, we want to honor and glorify you. And we thank you, Lord, that you have created and designed your congregational church in Elmont, the community of Elmont, to not only be a beacon of light, but Lord, to consume a community with your love, your passion, your grace. All for the intent of your glory and your honor and your praise. Lord, I'm humbled by you and how you are just molding, shaping, and changing us. Lord, that you would never stop changing us. Lord, that you would continue to crack the seal of our hearts and make us whole. We're grateful for you, and we're confident in you and your promises, which we lean on. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.